And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio B with Jaylen Russick, our theater critic. And Judy, today we're going to talk about a production at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. They do this every summer. They do an outdoor production at the Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park. It's a great place to see a play. It's over in Ellicott City. And they have a production this summer of Julius Caesar, one of Shakespeare's most familiar plays. A lot of us read it in high school. Does Chesapeake Shakespeare's production say anything new to us today about Julius Caesar?
Well, as you know, Tom, Caesar is killed for being too ambitious. A group of conspirators are afraid he'll become a king and the Roman citizens will lose their freedom.
Et tu, Brute. Yes.
That's the one. So this whole setup may sound a little familiar, eerily familiar today, but this is a play that has almost always spoken to and seemingly about our contemporary political figures. Orson Welles staged an anti-fascist production in 1937. His Caesar was compared to Mussolini. But in 2012, Minneapolis's Guthrie Theater did a production with a Caesar who resembled Obama and was assassinated by right-wing extremists. So Julius Caesar is open to broad interpretation. And if you can't take something away from it that speaks to you, to your own times, the director has probably missed something. Marcus Kidd directs Chesapeake Shakespeare's production. He doesn't do anything overt. He doesn't insert modern references or even modern costumes. He lets Shakespeare's words speak for themselves, and the inferences are there. They're just under the surface. It's Shakespearean timelessness. The director does use some gender-bending, gender-blind casting. I'm not sure those are the right terms. It may be called gender swapping or gender neutral. The way it works here is that when female actors play, say, Cassius or Octavius, their pronouns become she and her, and Octavius's name becomes Octavia. I've been thinking a lot about this, and frankly, I found some of these casting choices confusing.
So given this production's gender choices, what are the performances like? How do they do?
Well, the lead performances are solid. I'm going to start with Laura Artisi. She plays Cassius, and she gives a standout performance. Her delivery sounds very natural, even, or perhaps I should say, especially when she's saying such familiar lines as, "The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves." Cassius is one of the play's more complex characters. Caesar doesn't trust him. In this case, doesn't trust her, and with good reason. Caesar is played by Dejanet Horn, and he doesn't seem swollen with ambition, although he certainly does enjoy his status as a popular war hero. He and his followers and his wife enter joyfully. They're dancing, they're singing. And in this production, Caesar fights back when the conspirators attack him. He even briefly gets a hold of one of the assassin's knives. Gabriel Alejandro plays Mark Antony as a man who stands apart. Initially, both sides, the conspirators and Caesar, think Antony's on their side. But in his famous funeral oration, which we also tend to all learn in school, it's clear that Antony is his own man, that he thinks for himself, and Alejandro does a good job conveying this. On the other hand, Jose O. Guzman, as Brutus, is a firebrand almost from start to finish. And an interesting thing happens due to the gender-swapped casting of Cassius. Cassius and Brutus are the chief co-conspirators, but they have a falling out near the end of the play. Some scholars have questioned whether Brutus and Cassius might have had more than a brotherly friendship. In Chesapeake Shakespeare's production, with Cassius played by a woman, this slight undercurrent seems more pronounced. I have a clip from their argument before they're reconciled. This is Laura Artisi as Cassius and Jose Guzman as Brutus. Let's listen.
You wrong me every way. You wrong me, Brutus. I said a practiced soldier, not a better. Did I say better?
If you did, I care not.
When Caesar lived, he durst not thus have moved me.
You durst not so have tempted him.
I durst not?
No.
What? Durst not tempt him?
For your life, you durst not.
Do not presume too much upon my love. I may do that I shall be sorry for.
You have done that you should be sorry for.
All right, time for anger management with them. That's Laura Artisi and Jose Guzman in Chesapeake Shakespeare's production of Julius Caesar. So, Judy, what'd you think of the supporting performances?
Well, there are 12 actors in all in Chesapeake Shakespeare's production, And at times, especially at the beginning and the end, they portray a crowd. Marcus Kidd's staging is very effective here, especially when some of that crowd is in the center aisle among the audience. It's as if we're also part of the crowd. And this is a very fickle crowd, very easily swayed. After Brutus's speech decrying Caesar's ambition, the crowd turns its support to Brutus. Then, after Antony's speech, the crowd turns its support to him. One of the things that I found most effective and intriguing in Marcus Kidd's direction is that he bookends the production with the crowd cheering, "Caesar, Caesar." They're cheering two different Caesars, of course, but seeing this a second time makes you wonder if all of the battles and all of the bloodshed got us anywhere. In terms of individual performances, I want to mention the play's two female characters, both of whom are played by women. Sandy Barrero plays Brutus's wife, Portia. Molly Moores plays Caesar's wife, Calpurnia. Both wives are portrayed as very devoted to their husbands. And of course, in Calpurnia's case, she's also very superstitious. She tries to keep Caesar from going to the Capitol on the day he's assassinated. I have a clip from that scene. You'll hear Dejanet Horn as Caesar and Molly Moores as Calpurnia. Let's listen.
What can be avoided whose end is purposed by the mighty gods? Yet Caesar shall go forth, for these predictions are to the world in general as to Caesar.
When beggars die, there are no comets seen. The heavens themselves blaze forth the death of princes.
Cowards die many times before their death. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come.
That's Dejanet Horn as Julius Caesar and Molly Moores as his wife Calpurnia in Chesapeake Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. So Judy, you said this production isn't done in modern dress. What are the costumes like? Is this like a toga party from Rome?
No togas. The costumes are by Elizabeth Morton, and she's chosen a very neutral look, a primarily beige palette. The male characters wear loose-fitting, linen-like trousers. The female characters wear long, flowing beige dresses. Caesar's supporters wear burgundy vests. There's nothing military-looking, although the soldiers do use shields in battle. The production also has very strong lighting and sound effects. I saw the play last Friday in a continuous drizzle, and when the lighting and sound effects simulated a storm, it seemed all too real. I also want to mention the use of drums throughout the production. They're drums of celebration, sometimes they're drums of war or thunder. Gary Dubrill is the show's master drummer, and he also plays various minor characters, beginning with a cheerful, joking cobbler.
So in sum, sounds like you found this a pretty interesting production.
Interesting, yes, but also sometimes puzzling. The production does reinforce the fact that Julius Caesar has perpetual relevance and that power struggles are at the core of politics, whatever the politics may be.
All right, Julius Caesar, it's at the Patapsco Female Institute Historic Park in Ellicott City. It's there until the 20th of July. Thank you, Judy. I appreciate it. See you next time.
Thank you, Tom.
And J. Wynn Russick's beautiful novel is called Please Write a Novel in Letters, by the way. And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, the author Rick Atkinson talks about the second volume of his fantastic history of the American Revolutionary War. It's called The Fate of the Day. Midday's director and engineer is Shania Mapson. We get help from Gabe Ortiz as well. Taria Rogers and Sam Burmes-Dawes produce our program with assistance from Mallory Pinkard-Pierre. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Our intern is Jessica Bacin. Fresh Air is up next after news, top of the hour. The guest today is NBC News correspondent Jacob Soboroff. He's covering the latest ICE raids across the country. So stick around for that. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Have a great day.